Hello, and welcome to the all new Life Debt Podcast. I'm your host, Johnny Orme, and, I've just been thinking, I've got all this free time in my car to do stuff, and yeah, I can listen to podcasts, yes, I can listen to audiobooks, but I can do that every day. Why not use some of that time to talk to you lovely Star Wars fans? Because, as we know, all Star Wars fans are lovely. So I was just like, you know what, I've got this time. Let's see how it goes. Let's see where we can go with this. Let's see if we can keep this regular. By we, I mean the royal we. And, you know, I'm not going to say, right, this is going to be my lifelong commitment. I'm not saying that this is going to be every week. But I'm hoping it will be, especially coming up, because next year is going to be a pretty epic year for us all. You know, we've got the Book of Boba Fett, we've got Obi-Wan Kenobi, we've got Andor, we've got Bad Batch, we've got Mandalorian. And so, you know, there's plenty of content out there to be discussed. Now, for the most part, my free time is the car, the drive to and from work. And more than likely, it'll be the drive to work because I feel more awake then. So, hair in my mouth. Anyway, well, it's still there. This is excellent podcasting, folks. I don't think I've got it. Yeah, there we go. So, this time, you know, I can talk about stuff, I can, you know, share my thoughts, and I can also get your thoughts, which will probably not be whilst I'm driving, but, you know, I can record thoughts, you know, if you guys email me at lifedebtpodcast@outlook.com, I can do a little section whilst at home, so I'm not breaking too many driving laws. I'm pretty sure that this is breaking the law, seeing as people talk on their phones all the time, and I'm using a hands-free kit, so it's perfectly legal. And what a time to do this, what a time to start this back up, seeing as last week we just had a great week, didn't we? We've had a great week or so in the realm of Star Wars. So, I'm going to jump into that. But first, I'm going to do a little bit of business. Like I said before, you can email me at lifedebtpodcast@outlook.com. Please send emails. Telling you guys what I'm recording about next, the next episode, so I want to hear from you about what I'm going to record. I'll be talking about that later. But yes, email me, lifedebtpodcast@outlook.com. You can find us on Twitter, find me on Twitter. Sorry, I don't know why I keep saying us. I'm going to make it sound like I'm like much bigger than I am. If you ask my friends at work, I'm quite big. You can find me on Twitter at LifeDebtJohnny, all one word. Facebook, I have got the Facebook group or Facebook page for the blog and podcast, which, because rather than give you the facebook.com/this, that, and the other, just head on to Facebook and search for Life Debt blog pod, and it will come up for you. And well, where else can you find me? And if you like what you hear, and if you like what you read, then please head on over to patreon.com/lifedebt. My Star Wars Life Debt. patreon.com/MyStarWarsLifeDebt. We have a bunch of tiers. I've not got, like, it's not like, hey, at this tier you get all of this, and at this tier you get all of that, and at this tier you get all this. It's for the most part one size fits all, I'm afraid. There are a couple of perks, extra perks for the blog. If you want to head on over, you can. Head on over, read my tiers at patreon.com/MyStarWarsLifeDebt. And what else can we do? I've got nothing. Oh, and head over to the blog, of course. Head on over to the blog at MyStarWarsLifeDebt.com. Where you will find everything you need about My Star Wars Life Debt. There we go. Business sorted. I'm going to fine tune that. I think I need to fine tune that. It's been a while, folks. It's been a while. The past week, what has happened? I mean, of course, 2 weeks ago today, literally 2 weeks ago as of recording this, 1st of November, we got the Book of Boba Fett trailer. My thoughts are on the blog. Long story short, good trailer. Enjoyed it. It's not as action-packed as you would expect for the Book of Boba Fett. Well, a Boba Fett series, it's not, you know. But it sets up the series. It sets up where this series is going. It sets up the whole premise of the series. And that's what you really want from a trailer. You don't want too much. But yeah, it's a good trailer. Check out my thoughts on the blog. But that kind of led to what I'm going to go with this episode. Jump forward a week, you know. And we're like, okay, we're anticipating November 12th at that point. You know, we're sat there. We've been told Disney Plus Day is going to be the bit. Oh, I'm sorry, I jumped forward too much. So, cut. So, from the Book of Boba Fett, what was it, the Friday or the Monday? Well, after the Boba Fett trailer, we got a little bit of news. That bit of news was the Rogue Squadron, the Patty Jenkins helmed film, which would be the first of the planned releases from Lucasfilm for Star Wars. Had been removed from development indefinitely. Because Patty Jenkins' schedule has become too busy. Because Wonder Woman 3 was announced not long back. She has a film based on Cleopatra that she's working on. And then there was Rogue Squadron. Now, Wonder Woman 3, I don't believe has a release date. Pretty open-ended. Cleopatra, I don't think has a release date. Pretty open-ended. Rogue Squadron, announced just under a year ago. Okay, that has been in development long enough for them. That had been in development at the time of that Disney investors meeting, where we got to see, you know, all manner of titles. And a cat in Angle Sizzle Room. You know, that had been in development long enough for them to do this video, that basically said why she wanted to make this film, what it was about Star Wars that she wanted to make this film, and, you know, it got everyone hyped, with Patty Jenkins climbing into it, chuffing X-Wing. And, you know, we kept getting updates of her working with the writer, and how that was going, you know. They were pretty far along with the script. I think they pretty much got it nailed down. And then suddenly we started hearing this rumour that, oh, there's problems, it's going to be delayed, because Lucasfilm were actually talking about doing another film and fast-tracking it, getting it out there, because they could see that they got this hidden script that is further along and ready and been developed enough for them to kind of push this film through. I'm like, that seems awfully convenient, don't you think? You know, we've been hearing every time that it's been mentioned by Patty Jenkins, this script has been, you know, on the, it's been pretty much, you know, it was, from the sounds of it, it was like almost done, and they could, they were going into pre-production and all this stuff. So it's like, okay, right, so someone's been lying. Followed up with, you know, get this announcement from the Wonder Woman 3, I'm like, well, you know, they're gonna wait, you know, they're not gonna mess with her contract, they're not gonna, you know, she's made this commitment, they're not gonna, you know, just toss her out, like, they're not gonna let her just go off and do this thing. Oh no, yes they are. Now, she's probably contractually obliged to provide 3 Wonder Woman films. I'm pretty sure in that in that contract, it doesn't have release dates, it doesn't have time frames. You know, I mean, if it did, it would have been probably chucked out the window after COVID. So, I'm kind of, like, pissed off, because I'm not saying that this is, like, the worst thing to happen in the world or anything like that, but it's just annoying, right? And as I said, I put this in a blog post. Like, name one Star Wars film that hasn't had a delay so far. You know, name one Star Wars project that hasn't had some sort of issue. Now, the big one, you got these big, big issues, like Harrison Ford being injured on the set of Force Awakens. That delayed filming, but they'd already pushed back the release date, because originally Disney wanted it in May of 2015, and J.J. Abrams was like, hey, that's too short a time for me coming onto this project. I'm pretty sure he had a decent amount of time to make that film. But, you know, I get it, he wanted a bit more time to make sure that everything was hunky-dory. And, you know, okay, fair enough. So then, and we get Rogue One. Well, the problems on that set are very well known. You know, they got a new director in for extensive reshoots for the entire third act. Now, Gareth Edwards was a trooper, he did a great, you know, and, you know, he worked with Tony Gilroy, and, you know, they put out, I mean, don't get me wrong, Rogue One is an amazing film. I watched it not long back. I re-watched it not long back. You know. So, whatever was reshot, actually, it was, it helped. It did the job. It did a very good job. The Last Jedi, that was originally meant to be out in May of 2017. They pushed it back to December. Now, that was probably, that was quite possibly due to, I'm pretty sure they pushed back Rogue One as well. But I think that was more down to, um, what's it called? That was probably more down to that film, Force Awakens, doing well at Christmas time. Last Jedi was pushed back because Rian Johnson wanted to take another pass of the script because of he wanted to kind of like utilize like the fan reaction, engage fan reaction to certain characters. So I think he added a bunch more stuff like with Finn and you know, kind of chain like bulked up some roles in the film. Now, to say that he may have bulked up Finn's role, I would hate to have seen what his original pass on the script was with a lack of Finn. But you know, I'm not just saying, you know, I think he probably had to bulk out other characters' contributions to the in the film as well. But I do remember kind of a lot of rumour that he had to bulk up Finn's role. Which kind of makes sense, and I'm kind of making the assumption of Finn because of kind of Finn's role in The Last Jedi. You know, he kind of does get pushed to the side a little bit, and you know, whilst I think Last Jedi is a great film, I absolutely love The Last Jedi. I, you know, it's not without its problems, and one of my big issues is, you know, is the Finn story arc. He is. The idea that he sent out on this mission, great, but it's not a mission that he wanted to take. You know, he's still going. He kind of feels like there was a lack of character development, in a way. But, like, it's kind of like, oh no, actually, we have got this character development that he gained it through this mission when he's out with Rose. But I kind of felt like, actually, Johnny, slap yourself, come on, think about it. Like, yeah, I'm thinking about it, and yeah, slap myself. Like, his big motivation in Force Awakens to get to Starkiller Base and to save Rey, his big motivation throughout most of The Last Jedi is to save Rey. So actually, yeah, slap yourself. Slap, done. But still, I think, you know, his character was kind of left out a lot. I think Poe's arc was right, I think Rey's arc was right, and I think Finn ended up kind of getting a little bit too sidetracked. So, yeah. Then we had Solo. And that was a chuffing joke, wasn't it? You know, 2/3 of the way through production, then you fire your directors. Yeah, that's gonna go down well. Yes, you hire like a very good veteran director to come and write the ship, and it makes you kind of wonder what could Ron Howard have done with Solo had he had the full whack on it. And that's something I would have loved to have seen. I mean, Solo's a great film. Solo is a damn fine film, and I love it. So, you know, whatever Ron Howard did, it did the job. But, you know, Solo kind of, I think, for me, that film deserved better. Just across the board from what it got. It deserved a better production. You know, it deserved its release date to be moved. Like, seriously, you move every other bloomin' Star Wars release date thus far. Yeah, Iger's like, oh, I don't want to move it. You've moved all of them. Yeah, but it's got a proven track record of Christmas being absolutely fantastic for Star Wars, you know. You know, so Iger's, yeah, shouldering that responsibility. I think there's a lot of responsibility at the hands of the marketing department as well. So I think, you know, should have done something better. So, you know, that was really hindered by all those problems. And then Rise of Skywalker, you've got Colin Trevorrow working damn hard. You know, the third draft of a script, yeah, it's cheesy and sick, but at the end of the day, it really ended up being, like, if you've read the Trevorrow script, Jewel of the Fates, or if you've listened to the amazing podcast version of it, like, a group of people turned it into an audio drama, and it was blooming amazing. You know, it just needed polishing. I mean, of course, it was that hindrance also kept those hindrance with it, because, you know, there was a sizable role for Princess, for Leia. Of course, Carrie Fisher passed away. So, you know, there was issues that he had to overcome. But what was it, like a month in or something? He's just like, yep, Colin Trevorrow's gone. We just need to get another director. And then they don't announce a director for a couple of months. And then they announce J.J. Abrams. And with that, they get the push back to December. Now, is Rise of Skywalker the most amazing Star Wars film ever created? No. Should it have been? It should be up there. It should have been like a top tier. You know, it should have been like, you're finishing off this, you know, not only is it finish off the trilogy, it's also finishing off the saga. And this, to finish off the saga, it needed more. It needed, it needed to be bigger. It needed to feel bigger. And, you know, I don't know if it was a Lucasfilm decision to end the Skywalker saga there, or if it was JJ going, I think we should do this. And everyone going, yeah, okay. Because, honestly, if that was the way, you know, I can't imagine that would be the way. That's not the way that you need to end it. End this over 40 years saga that's lasted for over 40 years. It needed something bigger in scope. You know, I'm not saying that's Avengers Endgame, because I think Endgame is actually pretty bad in terms of Marvel films. So I kind of feel like it was rushed. Actually, no, I don't feel that. I know it was rushed. I think it could have been done a lot better. I like it. I enjoy it. Is it the end of the Skywalker saga that I feel would be deserved? I kind of feel that this was the end of the trilogy. This felt more like the end of a trilogy, and it didn't feel like the trilogy was ending the Skywalker saga. You know, yeah, you're killing off your main character. You're killing off the main characters, okay, and I get that. But you're saying, all right, we're going to pass the baton over to the new characters. And they're doing that. They do that. I think they do that quite well. I feel like... So, The Rise of Skywalker is hindered by the passing of Carrie Fisher. What they do with Carrie Fisher, what they do with Leia, they do the best that they can. And they give Leia a story arc based on unused footage. And I think that was fantastic. That was really well done. Because you couldn't go in to Rise of Skywalker with the crawl that says, hey, some guys have killed Leia. Well, Princess Leia is dead. But in her, you know, you couldn't do that. But the problem that they encountered with that is, one, they take Poe's character a step backwards. as if his character arc of learning to be a leader and learning to make the right choices, even if even if it goes against everything you believe in, you've got to make the right choices Was Poe right in taking on that dreadnought? Yes. Was he right in basically leading so many people to their deaths? No. Why was he, he says it in the beginning, this is a fleet killer, we have to get rid of it. So he does it good, he does what he has to do, but at the end of the day, and the loss of life is great, but it could have been a lot worse if he hadn't done that. But at the same time, he got so many people killed. So it was like, right, okay. But what we've got to do, what we're going to do now. So Poe goes through this entire story arc in The Last Jedi. And it worked. It was good. It was, you understand where his character comes from all the way through, even when he, even up until the point he learns that lesson, and for him to go a step backwards in, it kind of feels like he goes a step backwards in Rise of Skywalker, people say, oh, they're just trying to right the wrongs of The Last Jedi. I don't think they are trying to right the wrongs of The Last Jedi. Like, J.J. Abrams harped on about how much he loved The Last Jedi when it was being made, when Rian Johnson was writing the script. He was like, this is a daring movie. This is, I wish I was making this film rather than just producing it. I wish I was like there. I wish I was directing this. Why? Because it was damn good. It's fantastic writing. Force Awakens was exactly what it needed to be. Last Jedi was where you could kind of change it all up. And J.J. Abrams wanted that opportunity. Would it have been better if J.J. had just done all three films? I think so. I think, it needed someone to be, the whole driving creative force behind the trilogy. Yes, I do think that, But, whatever its name, whatever it's going to be, Rise of Skywalker was the film that was going to have the biggest... those two films, Force Awakens, The Last Jedi, didn't have... to contend with the passing of one of the cast, and one of the main cast. There was always going to be a prop. There was always going to be a shake-up. They don't want to recast Carrie Fisher. They don't want to go down the route of having someone do motion capture and just stick Carrie Fisher's face on top of them. They wanted Carrie in the film, and they put Carrie in the film, and so that was the big problem that they had, and they overcame it. And as hard as that would have been, but at the same time, the story around it, again, whilst is enjoyable, just doesn't have the finality, that you kind of expect from from the end of something, from the end of something so massive, it feels like the end of the trilogy. They get rid of, they defeat the evil of this trilogy, they defeat the evil of the saga, of the trilogy. But they throw in, and this is the other thing. It's like, this is where the lack of kind of overall guidance comes from, is they don't. You suddenly, we have Palpatine. Rian Johnson didn't write The Last Jedi to kind of put any hints about Palpatine in. personally, I think they should have done. But that's hindsight's 20/20, of course. So I kind of feel, you know, that the overall lack of a guiding light of in this trilogy was also a hindrance. But that's not to do that, you know, that's not to do with the delays. That's just general observation. So, you know, yeah, you've got all the films that have been made delayed for various reasons, pushed back for various reasons. Then you've got the stuff that wasn't made. And first off, Benioff and Weiss's, was it their planned series of films? That, you know, they were gonna do, they were gonna like write about like the early days or the origins of the Jedi, or the early like Jedi before, way before, even way before the High Republic. You know, so, and then, you know, they sign up to do this. This is going to be their first thing after Game of Thrones. But Netflix chucked them a shed load of money and said, hey, do you just want to develop a ton of stuff for us? And they were like, buy Lucasfilm. And honestly, I don't think I can tell you what they have done for Netflix at all. I have not seen jack from them. Do I think backlash over Game of Thrones had anything to do with it? Maybe on their part. Quite possibly on their part. You know, they put out that last season of Game of Thrones and I still haven't watched it. And I don't want to watch it. You know, I thoroughly love Game of Thrones from seasons 1 to 6. And then, like, everything I saw about, because like, my plan was, with Game of Thrones, I wasn't going to watch it week to week for the last season. I was going to binge it. Like, once it was all out. But, because the internet is the internet and people are assholes, I knew I was going to get shit spoiled for me. And I was like, you know what? I'm not doing that. I'm not having stuff spoiled for me. And on top of that, you know, like, I was neat. Like, I just started this new job. I just started a part-time job on top of my current job. And when the first episode aired, it was Star Celebration. So I was kind of juggling a lot to do with Star Wars and the blog, because I was kind of going through all of the Celebration stuff. Of course, the Sunday was Game of Thrones, but I just gotta kind of do more content. So, you know, that was my goal, was doing the content. And I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna read the episodes, I'm just gonna read the synopses of the episodes, and go from there. So I'm reading these synopses, and I'm like, the first 3 episodes seemed really good. Like, as I'm reading them. And then they just went downhill. And, like, the final episode, it kind of, like, I'm just like, you know, I'm reading the synopsis for, like, the second to last episode, and suddenly Daenerys is destroying everything. And I'm like, wait a minute. Hold on. Where did that come from? And, you know, everyone's like, oh, she feels alienated because of this relationship with Jon Snow. Why? She got herself into this relationship. She knew, you know, after they met, she knew like, what his goals were. His goal, you know, he'd left the Night's Watch, he'd gone back home, he left to do something, he left to kind of go negotiate with people, and then in that negotiations he met her, and they had their little, look, we're gonna have this conversation, and all these things are gonna happen, and we're all in, you know, we're all, you know, we're all against you, Cersei, and then they hook up, and then it turns out she's his aunt. And she's like, oh, I feel so, you know, we came back here, and, you know, she understood that the White Walkers were a greater challenge than everything else, because they threatened her throne. So then the White Walkers are all killed off, and the next project, the next thing that they got to do is fight Cersei, but they got to spend time rebuilding. And suddenly she's like, I'm going to kill every one of you motherfuckers. And it's like, oh, okay, right, character development through the window. People, I mean, I don't know if this was generally believed, but I do recall having a number of conversations with friends who were Game of Thrones fans, saying that it was all down to Star Wars. Well, actually, no, the deal for Star Wars didn't come out until that final season was in production. You know, they screwed the pooch. You know, they took this fan favorite thing and just went, hey, look, we've said that this is going to be the last season, so let's just go for it. And yeah, we're going to make every episode a movie. It's going to be amazing. Yeah, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be visually spectacular. But, you know, story. So they screwed the pooch on the story. And I was like, yeah, if that's what they're going to do. No. You know, the quality of Game of Thrones started to go downhill after they ran out of material from George R. R. Martin. You ain't got no material on this, on whatever you're doing for Star Wars. You can... that's what you need. If you need the material, you need, like, go find some other books to adapt. So, yeah, I was like... probably bullet dodged. Then, of course, we've got the long silence over the Rian Johnson announced trilogy that was announced like a week ago as a recording. I remember, like, it came up in my memories and I'm like, this is going to be amazing, right? They like The Last Jedi so much that they are going to put out, they're giving him a trilogy? Hell yeah, right? This is going to be amazing. He's directed like three films that I absolutely love. I'm like, yes, thank you. You know, at the time he directed Brick, Brothers Bloom, and Looper. So I'm like, yes, this guy, I've loved all of these films. This guy's got it, you know? They like his Star Wars film so much, they're giving him a trilogy. Beautiful. Last Jedi's going to be amazing. Last Jedi is amazing. We're going to get a trilogy from him. This is going to be fantastic. And we're still waiting, people. Where is my trilogy? So, yeah, it's like, I can't... It's like, right, okay. Great. You know, it's like, hey, let's announce Empty Promises, and that's all we're getting. You know, how many things have we heard from in terms of that Disney Investors Day last year? You know, they're like, right, we're announcing... they announced what, Andor... it's Andor, Kenobi, Rangers of the New Republic, Ahsoka, Visions, the Lando miniseries, Acolyte, the droids thingy, or something else, I can't remember. You know, we already know that Rangers of the New Republic's kind of like, is it happening, is it not happening because of Gina Carano's, you know, Gina Carano-ness. I mean, unless they're reworking it, but everyone's like, oh yeah, but that was going to be her thing. So yeah, we don't know what's going on there. Visions has come out. Andor comes out next year. Kenobi comes out next year. Mandalorian season 3, yeah, but that was given. You know, but it kind of felt that it was like, it's like, okay, we're still waiting to hear news on stuff. Ahsoka has, we're getting updates about Ahsoka. We keep getting updates on Acolyte. We don't get, we've not had any updates on the Lando series. Now, that's the one that I'm just like, I hope we get something soon. But I think there is a reason for that, and I think the reason for that is the fact that Donald Glover has been doing Atlanta season 3. And no one knew about it. That was like a secret thing that was kept secret. And they just dropped the trailer, like, last week, I think. So I'm like, right, I get why. I now understand why we haven't heard about that. So I think he's been doing that, and then after that, he's jumping on to doing doing the Lando series. But it's like, okay, look, we've got... But it all ties into Lucasfilm not giving out news as well. They don't put out updates. They don't say, yeah, well, we're waiting on this thing, or so-and-so's doing this, all these things. Of course, we had the Taika Waititi announcement, and we had the Rogue Squadron announcement. You know, and at the end of the day, it's like, well, okay, look, just talk to us about stuff. You know, we're big kids, but we're adults. You know, I mean, the fan base, yes, the fan base, Star Wars is for kids, but you've got, but the majority, I would say the majority of the fan base is adults, because they've grown up with this. It's been part of their lives for so long. You know, it's been part of my life since 1993. But that kind of rough time, that time period, 94, that was it. You know, we're in 2021 now, you know, and I have lived with Star Wars all that time. You know, I mean, you can say my fandom has risen and dropped at different points in time. You know, I mean, that'll happen to everyone. But at the same time, I'm like, come on, folks, we're adults. You can talk to us. You can tell us. We can handle the news, but we need to, there needs to be some sort of, you know, give and take, and we give, and we give, and we give, and we give, our fandom. And I feel like Lucasfilm does more of the taking at this point, because they don't want to give us news, they don't want to drop hints, they don't want to essentially promote upcoming stuff. And this is when we boil down to Disney Plus Day. And I'm gonna have to take a quick break because I have just arrived at work. And so yes, I'm gonna take a quick break. Well, for you it's gonna be a quick break. For me it's going to be a long day at work. So just bear with me. There'll be a couple of click, click, click things, a transition, and then we're going to jump into the next part of the show. Welcome back. So, I mean, it's not all bad news, is it? I mean, think about it. Last week, we got the, After last week's announcement of Patty Jenkins, no, the week before last announcement of Patty, after the Patty Jenkins announcement, anyway, the following Tuesday, we were graced with some wonderful reveals. A couple of Black Series reveals. So we got a Death Watch Mandalorian. Yeah, okay. I'll take that. Followed by Ahsoka Tano from The Mandalorian. So Rosario Dawson as Ahsoka Tano in Black Series, and it looks phenomenal. Absolutely gorgeous looking figure. It's one that I'm going to have to want to buy. I say that because, do you know how hard it is to get some of these toys? Like, it's insane. Insane. I mean, I'm pretty frugal at times. But the other week we did get a bunch of announcements, one of which was the Cobb Van Black Series Deluxe figure. I had to get that. I'm sorry. I had to get Cobb Van. Such a great looking toy. I don't understand why it's deluxe, but I don't care. It's Cobb Van and it looks good. So yes, I've got that on pre-order. Anyway, so we've got the Ahsoka figure and the Death Watch Mandalorian figure. Both look fantastic, as they should do with the Being Black series. But we were also revealed, what was revealed to us, a thing of beauty, ladies and gentlemen. A massive thing of beauty. Nearly 7,000 pieces of Lego to construct the Imperial Walker. Oh! Ladies and gentlemen, if I had the time to build it, the money to afford it, and the room to store it, I would be getting it. After getting the Ultimate Collector Series Millennium Falcon and Star Destroyer. This Imperial Walker just looks phenomenal. Like, this is it's a masterpiece. And having looked at some reviews and everything, it looks like it could be wonderful to build. However, I am not a Ultimate Collector Series collector. Mainly because I just don't have the room at all. I can barely house all the Lego I have. But no, like, it looks fantastic. The detailing is just out of this world. The fact you can open it up and it's got like a full interior, multiple speeder bikes. I mean, it only comes with 5 minifigures, which feels a bit lacking. But at the same time, you know, what minifigures would you want to fill it with? You want to fill it with snowtroopers. There's no point in putting like a ton of snowtroopers in this thing when coming up in January or March, we are reportedly getting a couple of battle packs where we can build our snowtrooper armies if we so desire. So yeah, like this thing just looks like it's going to be amazing. So yeah, it looks like collectors are going to be looking forward to that one. It's out later in November. I think this one will fly off some shelves. More than likely. I mean, it's one that people have been clamouring for, actually. And it's been long rumoured. So it'll be nice for people to finally get it. It's lovely to look at in pictures. And I will continue ogling it from pictures. Then where did we end up? We ended up with the Disney Plus Day on Friday. And I'm not going to go too deep into this because... Well, actually, let's just talk about Thursday. So Thursday, a little video appeared on YouTube. And it was a minute and a bit, really short, mostly showing off... concept art with very brief moments of interview with Ewan McGregor and Deborah Chow, and they're talking about the Kenobi series. You know, and Ewan's going like, look, the fans have been wanting this character back, it was time to bring it back, and Deborah Chow was like, you know, it's going to be a really fun adventure, it's a dangerous time to be a Jedi, he's got to figure out, you know, what he's got to do, and part of that is looking after, is making sure that Luke is safe. And we also get to bring back Hayden Christensen, and Ewan talks about how great it is for Hayden Christensen to be coming back, and they get reunited and maybe take a swing at each other. And then we see a bit of footage of Hayden training, wearing a big old mask. I mean, this video was made in the time of COVID, so obviously, you know, masks were a thing. So, you know, we get to see that kind of going on. And then, done. Obi-Wan Kenobi next year. And then people ambulance go by. Then people started mentioning that this was the sizzle reel that was shown to investors on the Disney Investors Day. About Obi-Wan Kenobi. And it was like, okay, so maybe they'll show this tomorrow to the public and there'll be something else. And suddenly you have all these internet scoopers going, don't worry, there's going to be more stuff from Kenobi. Everyone's going to love it, it's going to be amazing. And we waited. I mean, personally, I was at work during Disney Plus Day when the festivities kicked off. And when I left work, I had a quick look at see what had come out. And it was like, oh, the Obi-Wan Kenobi sizzle reel out. I had a quick look to see if it was the same one. Yes, it was. And I also noticed a bunch of Marvel stuff. So everyone was saying, oh, is that all we got from Lucasfilm? Oh, we got that and the Willow introduction. I'm like, cool, Willow introduction. I'll have a look at that. Warren Davison introducing the cast. Fair play. Looks all right. You know, we're not seeing much, but you know, they're just talking about the show and you know how great it's going to be, and that's fine. And then you look online, and Twitter was alight with, how dare they only give us this? This is an outrage. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, Lucasfilm don't know what they're doing. Ah! And it was like, oh, great. What a time to be a Star Wars fan. We get to hear the Dice. I mean, okay. I'm not going to lie. It was disappointing. You know, as a Star Wars fan, it was quite disappointing for me to be like, right, this is it. You know, Marvel get like this whole block of time to be like, hey, look at our you know, we've got all these series, some of these you already know about, here's like these clips and stuff, and it's like, oh, okay, thanks. We get a recycled video. Star Wars fans got a recycle video and this documentary about Boba Fett, which, whilst don't get me wrong, the documentary is pretty good. I quite enjoy it. But, you know, when, and I, this is like something that people have said, and I didn't go into Disney Plus Day going, right, we're going to get like a ton of stuff, we're going to be like blown away, life's amazing, this is going to be like the best day ever to be a Star Wars fan, can't wait. Now, I went in kind of thinking, right, we'll see what happens. You know, we've been burned before on these kind of things, so we'll see. You know, tempering those expectations, tempering, you know, just kind of making sure that I wasn't getting too, like, hyped up. And it was probably a good thing to do that, because I would probably be a lot more ranty if I hadn't. But, you know, as someone who kind of puts time and money into Disney Plus, it's like a kick in the teeth, because Star Wars is the thing that for me, personally, that's what I go to Disney Plus for. You know, I enjoy other stuff on there, like I enjoy The Simpsons, I'm going through The Simpsons bit by bit. You know, I'll sit and watch Family. You know, I'm not just on there for Star Wars, but Star Wars is predominantly. Stalled my car. Star Wars is predominantly what I'm there for. So, to kind of get this recycle video was like a kick in the teeth. But, at the end of the day, Lucasfilm have a history of keeping loads of stuff tight to the chest. Their marketing, and this is what I said earlier, their marketing, well, you know, the kind of like the way that they release stuff as well. Like, look back at the marketing for all of the Star Wars films since Disney bought it. You get a teaser in April, normally with Celebration. The only time, there were two times that didn't happen. The first one was Rogue One. The teaser... measure how well you drive. Sorry, traffic. I know there's traffic. The teaser for Rogue One did come out in April, but it wasn't tied to Celebration. Because Celebration that year was in July, because that was Star Celebration in Europe, in London, that I went to. But we got the sizzle reel. We got the behind-the-scenes sizzle reel, which normally happens in July during the convention season. So you always get a behind-the-scenes thing in July. Every time there's been a general, like a regular release, the only two times that didn't happen again on that schedule was Rogue One and Solo. And then you get your final trailer for your saga, like the saga films, in October. And then you get the TV spots happening in like late November, December. Rogue One, you got a behind the scenes feature at Celebration. Then we got a trailer in August with the Olympics. I remember that because I was in France with my wife's family when that came out, and I was like, I have to watch this trailer. You know, we'd been out, and I was like, right, the trailer's out, I'm just going to go into the other room and just watch this. And I did, and it was good. You know, and then we got another trailer later on, towards October, when like the big final push happened. And I get that they wanted to do a bit more marketing on it, because this wasn't like, it wasn't, you know, the it was the first non-saga film. So I think the saga film's got the built-in audience. The non-saga films are like, oh, we don't know how this is going to play, so they did an extra trailer. And Rogue One did well, so I'm guessing that they rested on their laurels when it came to Solo because of that as well. But with Solo, like, so if you look at the marketing, the way it's all marketed, the whole year is spent building up to the film that's out in December. I get that. So when we've got the release date in May for Solo, and Lucasfilm tend to have been doing this, right, we're going to focus marketing on one film at a time, one project at a time, it really hindered Solo, because suddenly, you know, we're getting to The Last Jedi. We still haven't seen a thing from Solo. But Disney are like, well, Lucasfilm, it's probably Lucasfilm. Or, I mean, I don't know which marketing department does it, to be fair. Don't know who runs the marketing for each one. Maybe it's all under Disney. Maybe each subsidiary has their own marketing. No idea. But still. You know, so we get Solo, we don't get anything about it until the Super Bowl. Well, the day before the Super Bowl, where we got the teeny tiny trailer. And then we get the full trailer, well, the full teaser. Then I think we had the behind the scenes, like a very quick behind the scenes thing in March. April, we get the final trailer, as well as the quote unquote, like, as well as like the, Was it Wookiee Wednesday or something, where they brought out all the merch and there was no merch, essentially, because that's how it felt. I swear down, I did not see a single solo Lego set in the wild until May. Everything I got, I mean, I don't think I got any solo Lego sets until just before the film came out anyway. But yeah, it was like May, June that I saw any of it, which was like, oh, okay. So bad marketing again. But yeah, like their desire to focus on one project at a time felt was a hindrance there, and it's become a hindrance now. Like, we all know the Book of Boba Fett's coming. You know, anyone who's seen The Mandalorian knows that, because we got the stinger at the end of Mandalorian season 2. And yeah, they don't want to just market to the fans. But when you've got Disney Plus is a different kind of beast, because you've already got people there. You've already got the money. You don't need to be like, hey, look, we've got this one project coming out in a few months. You know, you can market all of it, market everything, because you want to get the hype building. You know, it doesn't matter if people watch this on day one or day 100, okay, because it's always on there. And you've got to gauge the popularity. You know, how many views in the first weekend is important. But, you know, someone, you know, me, personally, like, I will make sure I will watch Book of Boba Fett straight off. Day one, when it comes out, I'll be watching it. But, like, if I'm finishing off binging another series at the time, like I did this a few years ago, I had like a bunch of TV series that I hadn't kind of, that I was kind of halfway through, or I was like halfway through a season or something. So my plan was, before I start watching anything else, I was going to finish off a bunch of these seasons. So I didn't watch season one of Stranger Things for about a month, maybe a month and a half. Because I had like, I was like 2/3 of the way through a season of The Walking Dead, and I wanted to catch up. I was like partway through something, through a couple of other series at the time. So I was like, right, I just want to finish these off before I start something else. And you know, maybe people will be doing that. Maybe they're just like, right, I want to finish off, you know. At the minute, I'm like 2 episodes into Midnight Mass. I'm in 1 episode into season 1 of You. You know, maybe I just want to finish off one of these before I jump onto Boba Fett, even though I know Boba Fett's going to be a weekly thing. Maybe people want to wait the 9 weeks for Box. It's going to be 9 episodes, supposedly. So maybe people want to wait for the 9 episodes to all be out before they watch it. You know. So, streaming views, you know, I feel like, you know, you want to gauge your views within the first 3 months, you know, the first 3 months of it being out, because, you know, releasing something weekly, like I've been putting off watching The Only Murders in the Building on Disney Plus. I think that looks really fun. I like Steve Martin and Martin Short. I like them together. Like, I've seen them in a bunch of stuff together. I like them together as a comedy pairing. You know, that's finished. So now when I've got time, I can sit and I can watch all of that together. Disney Plus has got American Horror Story now. I don't want to sit there week on week on week waiting for it. I'm like, that, those are like one long story. I want to sit and I want to watch that, you know, in a block, you know. So people's viewing habits are different. So you don't need to just sit there and go, well, we're marketing Book of Boba Fett because that's the next one. And then when that's out, we're going to put a trailer out for the next thing. And then when that's finished, we'll put a trailer out for the next thing. Now, what if, so like Bad Batch, if that's 16 weeks and you've got a release date for, say, Andor, because that's meant to be coming, when was that meant to be coming? That's coming third quarter or fourth quarter, which somehow ends up being kind of the June, July, August period. I think the way like the schedule, like TV schedules fall, that will be the fourth quarter. Because then everything kind of new stuff, like everything kind of normally on TV, things kind of start in September, October. So I guess the fourth quarter would be June, July, August. So Andor's out there? It's meant to be out at that point, according to the Disney investors meeting, Disney investors phone call thing that was last week as well. So, you know, Book of Boba Fett will finish in March, because that's 9 episodes, starting like the end of December. So it'll be episode 5. You know, you'll finish that actually in end of February, beginning of March. Then are they going to jump straight into Kenobi, which is 6 weeks, which would take them to May? Then you've got Bad Batch 2, Bad Batch Season 2, that'll probably be 15, 16 weeks. So yeah, actually, that might work out. Then you're going to be on Andor, and that's meant to be, what, 12? Oh, God, I think we could have Star Wars every week for a year, thinking about it that way. That's cool. Okay. But seriously, if they're going to be doing that, you're going to want to put a trailer out sooner rather than later for everything. You know, and halfway through Book of Boba Fett, oh, look, here's a Kenobi trailer. Halfway through Kenobi, here's Bad Batch. You know, it kind of just feels like, why don't you just give us a bunch of trailers so we can be excited for what's coming? You know, it's like, you know, I'm looking forward to Kenobi, and then, oh my God, after Kenobi, it's Bad Batch. Holy crap. After Bad Batch, oh my God, then it's Andor. Oh my God, and you know, get everyone amped up instead of keeping the fans in the dark. You know, it just feels like a really tricky way of doing things, personally. And I'd rather not see that. I'd rather, you know, be like, hey, look, I just want to enjoy it. I want to look forward to it. I'm kind of one of these people that doesn't believe it's happening until I see something. Like, Book of Boba Fett, I'm like, we keep hearing little tidbits and people keep talking about it. And, you know, it's there, it's happening. But then it doesn't feel real until you see it, until I see it. And so, like, Book of Boba Fett, even though I knew it was kind of coming in December, it suddenly felt real last week, in the last couple of weeks. And I'm like, I can't believe it. It's so close now. You know, and given, like, Disney and Lucasfilm's history of things not working out, I kind of want to see stuff. So it's like, yeah, it's real, it's actually happening. You know, we haven't got like halfway through Andor and then it stops. Or, you know, or something like that. I just want to snip it. I want to taste. So yeah, it was kind of a kick in the gut. But we didn't get much. I say all we got was this sizzle reel with a bunch of concept art. You know, at the end of the day, you want to keep you've got all these fans, and the Disney Plus Twitter account or social media accounts going, hey, you want to keep your day free on this day because you've got loads of stuff coming. Like, the Star Wars accounts were saying it. They were saying, keep your eyes peeled on this day for a load of stuff, and it didn't happen. You know, and it's kind of, that's more of a letdown than anything else. It's like, look, you guys actually promised you didn't promise what, but you promised something, and, you know, it kind of was empty promises for this recycled minute and a half, if that. Well, that was a good rant, wasn't it? Kind of feel like I need to breathe and just like kind of relax for a second. Rant's over now. I think we can all say it was disappointing, but I think I've kind of gone into it in a different way than I did in the blog post. I wrote a blog post called Disappointment Plus Day,
That came out on Monday. Friday, I've got a book review for the High Republic manga, Edge of Balance, Volume 1, by Justin Ireland. And I feel awful, I can't remember the co-author's name, but it is in the blog post. Anyway, so yeah, that's this week on the blog, so keep a lookout for that. Monday and Friday blog posts, and I think kind of midweek podcast episodes, that sounds like a good idea, I think. Keep kind of regular, and of course, how can I forget the Patreon exclusive podcast episodes of Yubnubbin, Yubnubbin, a Life Debt podcast, where I review the 1980s Ewoks cartoon episode, and we're now on to season 2. So if you want to hear me talking about Wicket, Nyssa, Latara, and Tebow, and the rest of the characters of Brightree Village, head on over to patreon.com/MyStarWarsLifeDead and sign up there, and you can hear, we're up to 15 episodes of that now. That's going to be 26 in total, because that's how many episodes of Ewoks there are. And after Ewoks, I've got an idea of where I'm going. So, keep an ear up to the ground for that one. And head on over, because any and all contributions are greatly appreciated. And the way I see it, if my good friend, my brother from across the states, from across the pond, Anthony, aka a rural farm boy, if he's listening, then it can't be half bad. So, thank you for listening. Thank you for, if this is your first time listening, thank you for giving this show a shot. If you listen to the Life Debt podcast before, thank you for coming back. Yeah, so if you wanna find me on Twitter, it's at Life Debt Johnny. Have a search on Facebook for the Life Debt Pod, Life Debt Blog Pod, and you can find the Life Debt group for the blog and podcast. I've taken to like kind of posting random bits and pieces, funny memes and stuff on there now, because I keep finding some good fun Star Wars stuff and remembering to put it out there. It's the wonders of having like a more or less 9-to-5 job. Like, I have time to do these things now. You can find me on the Star Wars Card Trader app at as Bloody Orm, BLOODYORME. Send me a trade, say hi, follow me on Twitter at Life Debt Johnny. I've already said that one, but anyway, just shout out, let me know you've listened. Next week, so if you want to, I would greatly appreciate it. So like I said, send me a tweet, send me a direct message on Twitter, or email lifedebtpodcast@outlook.com, get on the show next week. And next week I am talking about Star Wars Episode 2, Attack of the Clones. I've been on a bit of an Attack of the Clones thing this past week. I've just started I'm about a third of the way through the novelization, and thanks to life, I've been watching the film over a few nights. Hopefully I'll get it finished tonight, as I'm recording this on Monday. Hopefully I'll get it finished tonight, so I can, I've got it done. I can talk about the book, I'll crack out the soundtrack, all those kind of things. I'm on a Attack of the Clones kick, and I'm really enjoying it. So if you've got any thoughts about Attack of the Clones, you want to get off your chest, or you want to join in the conversation. Let's talk about it. So write in lifedebtpodcast@outlook.com. And like I said, @lifedebtjohnny on Twitter. Hit me up in the Facebook group as well, on the Facebook page. All those things. I'll try and get in touch with you, try and get back to you. But if you don't hear back from me, you'll definitely hear me next week on the podcast. So thank you again for listening. It means a great deal. And this was quite fun to do. Like, it's actually made my journey to work and back from work pretty bearable today. Normally I do podcasts or audiobooks, but you know, it felt like, you know what, I can do a bit more. I can do have a bit more fun, so let's have fun while it lasts. So yes, thank you for listening again, and punch it chewy.